Hello, I'm Jeff Sly. Welcome to this very special podcast, and joining me is Kay Jackson from Simplex Insurance Brokers in Ballarat. Important to point out before we start, the information that we're talking about today is current as of the 2nd of April 2020, and that's important because we're in a very changing environment at the moment, and any advice that Kay gives is of a general nature. For specific advice, you need to speak to your insurance company or your insurance broker. Now, Kay, talk to me about coronavirus. What are people asking you about?
The most that we're being asked about at the moment is in regards to business interruption insurance that people have with their business insurance policies, and whether that would actually respond to this particular virus. Unfortunately, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
It is. It's not a great answer, and we certainly wish we could give a better answer. But there are reasons for that. There are certain things under insurance policy where if it was going to be a catastrophe and completely write off the insurance companies, then it's not an insurable event. So there's things like war, nuclear events, and different policies come across it differently. The most common one is that they say that if it's a quarantinable disease as defined in regards to the Biosecurity Act of 2015, then it's out. And if you read that act, it does have actually in there coronaviruses. It does.
Someone had some foresight.
I think there's different strains of it, and it's just the one that's here at the moment is a particularly nasty one that there isn't a vaccine for at the moment.
Business interruption insurance is probably not going to cover you. What else are people asking you about?
We do get asked more from a domestic landlord situation about rent default cover. That is a cover where people have taken out an extra option under their landlord policies, where if a person breaks their lease or for whatever reason can't pay their rent anymore, it protects the landlord and it gives them a period of time which covers them for this default period. From what we've seen in the policies that we've seen, they would most likely respond to a rent default case. Very limited in the commercial market. There's only a few insurers that actually have that. Unfortunately, once again, you can't purchase it now. The insurers have sort of gone, hey, look, everybody's going to want to take this out. So there is an embargo on it. My suggestion is in future people might take it up more. We've had people where they've had clients and they've had their tenants in a property for a long time and they know them really well, and you'd never foresee that anything like this would happen to cause them to default on rent. So there are quite a few people that haven't chosen to take out the extra rent default option and you can't purchase it now. So there is an embargo on there at the moment in regards to that. It's not going to kick in if you decide to be a really nice landlord and just say to somebody who's struggling, look, don't pay me rent. It does have to actually be a default on behalf of the tenant, and you do have to go through the normal processes that you would with the managing agent of the property to try and retrieve the rent that's payable. But if somebody has lost their job and they can't pay the rent and it's a genuine default process, then most policies would pick that type of claim up. So there's a little bit of hope there for some people in regards to the income that they may lose at this time.
There are all sorts of strange things going on, all sorts of different situations going on. One of the big ones is employers asking employees to work from home. What sort of issues come up with that?
There's a lot of issues that people, when you're in a situation like this, everybody's trying to do the right thing. They're trying to do the right thing by staying at home and running businesses from home. They're trying to do the right thing by keeping their workplace engaged and involved. There are things you do need to consider. One of them's insurance. Are you allowed to run a business from home? A lot of domestic policies actually have an exclusion in there for people that run businesses from home. So once again, check with the insurer. You'd hate to have something else happen. They find you working from home. I'd really hate to think that the insurer would take a hard line on that, but it is in some policies and they're quite entitled to do so.
Potentially you could be in default of your policy.
And for the sake of a phone call to say, hey, look, my circumstances have changed. I'm actually working from home. There's no clients coming to my home. They may ask questions about whether you're keeping stock at home or other business equipment or goods at home. Is there a higher risk if you were a cabinet maker and you were doing some cabinetry at home? Some insurers may not be very happy with that, so you might have to adapt a business policy to your home situation. So you do need to think about things like that. And there's other things as well from cybersecurity, like when you're working in an office environment, normally you would have firewalls and all sorts of IT protection there. Do you have that on your home computers that you're working from? Do you need to speak to your IT specialist to make sure that you are actually safe working online from home?
and even security of information.
Absolutely. Us as insurance brokers, we have an obligation under the Privacy Act. We have sensitive information about people. We have to be very careful that, you know, somebody's son might be, you know, in the working environment of one of our employees and look on a screen and see that somebody's had a drink drive charge or other personal information that could get out in the community that you don't want to. So you need to protect not only, I suppose, the online information, but any physical information. If you're printing things out at home, who is going to get to see them? So there's a lot to take into account when it comes to working from home.
So the other thing, of course, is if I'm working from home, my normal business premises may be vacant, and that's got issues in itself.
Yes, it does. Most insurance policies, I'd even go as far as to say all of them, will have some form of an occupancy clause in there, whether it be a domestic premises or a commercial premises. They usually go from 30 days. Some of them are a bit more generous and might have you 90 days of unoccupancy. And what that means is that if your premises are unoccupied for that point of time, you've actually got more chance of vandals or things happening to it if a premises is sat vacant. So the insurers have that in there and they say, you know, if you're going to be vacant for more than that period of time, you need to make contact with us and you need to have our approval for it to be vacant that long. Once again, I would like to think that the insurers wouldn't take a hard line on it. Some companies like CGU recently has come out and they've said that they're waiving that. I know that the ICA, the Insurance Council of Australia, is working closely with the government to see what can the insurance industry do, like the banks have done. Hopefully that's one thing that they'll make a blanket decision on for all insurers, because it is important. If you're shutting down a premises and it's vacant and something happens to it, you don't want to get caught that your insurance isn't going to cover you should something happen. There is also a really great checklist that Zurich has come out with, which is if you are going to be away from your property, it just covers off things like, you know, if you've got skip bins or pallets outside, make sure they're cleared away so that if you do get people that are out there that decide to do the wrong thing and start a fire or do some malicious damage, you haven't left things around to make it easy for them. So it's a bit of a checklist to go through. If you have fire doors in your property that they're all closed, that you don't have appliances plugged in, that you don't have machines or equipment running, it's a fairly simple checklist that they've produced.
So is there from what you were saying to me before, the Insurance Council is having conversations with government, is having conversations with insurers. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
There absolutely is. CGU has been very proactive in regards to that. Some of the things that they've brought out, everything they've brought out has been done with good intention. There is one thing that they have put in place where you can actually defer your insurance premium. So if your insurance premium's due now, they've said that you can defer it for up to 6 months and then you can pay it. The issue I see with that is, okay, I'm a business, I'm struggling, I'm going to defer this big payment. I'm going to defer it for 6 months. So I'm going to pay a yearly premium in 6 months' time, but then in another 6 months, I'm going to have another bill for another 12 months' worth of insurance.
At a time when the business may not be getting as much revenue as it is used to.
Correct. When all this lifts, it's going to be a period of recovery that businesses are going to go through to get back to the position on their books that they had prior to this shutdown. So I know companies like CGU also offer pay by the month free of charge. So I think a better option, instead of jumping to that offer, which is a great offer, and I'm sure it's been made in all the great spirit and with all the appropriate information that they have in time.
The best of intentions.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I just feel that maybe instead of doing that, a pay-by-the-month option, if it's not going to cost you extra, then you're not building up a debt that you're going to have to pay off, and then in another 6 months you're going to have another 12-monthly bill.
The other issues of working from home we were talking about before, business owners must limit the whole team's exposure to coronavirus. Is that something that businesses need to be aware of, as in do I need to be asking my employees to work at home, or am I better off having them in the office? Or
it is a really tricky complex. We're going through that in our office at the moment. So we've got an office that's big enough to comply. So we have got the 4 square metres per person. We can all sit more than 1.5 metres or be more than 1.5 metres from everyone. We've got cleaning regimes that go through the office at intervals during the day where everything's wiped down with antibacterial wipes. We have hand sanitizers. We've shut our office to the public so there's only the workers in there. We've had some staff that have decided they want to not attend the workplace. They're self-isolating. Now is not a time to judge. That's fine. They've made arrangements to be able to do that. If you're complying with all the government regulations and you're actually in an industry where you can do that, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But if you have a business where you can't comply with those distances of people, then you can't operate. So I think that's important too, because you don't want a management liability claim or a public liability claim. And if you're breaching what the government is telling you to do, it's an actual instruction that's come down, well, you're not going to be covered for that either. So I think if you're concerned about that, you really need to be either speaking to a specialist in HR or speak to your insurance broker just to find out, you know, this is what we're doing, we feel we're complying. Can you just make sure that if for some reason one of my staff picks up COVID-19 and ends up suing me because they think that I should have shut down, will my insurance policy respond to that? So there is so much to think about.
Not good enough to cross your fingers and hope for the best.
It's not a time to put your head in the sand and hope for the best. Absolutely not.
I take from a lot of what you said, conversations need to happen. You need to be proactive as a business owner and have those conversations.
You really do. I think what you need to do is sit down and say, okay, what is my disaster plan here? How am I going to get through this for the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, however long this goes on? What does it look like? Okay, I am going to shut down my premises. Who do I need to contact? You know, do I need to speak to the utility companies? Do I have deliveries that come? Is my mail going to get redirected? And you do need to speak to your insurers. You're better off having a conversation now and running through it rather than thinking you're okay and something happens and then no, it wasn't okay. You've assumed the wrong scenario. So no insurance broker that I'm aware of would be cross if their clients were ringing them now, asking them questions. And there's no such thing as a silly question. And different business owners or different, you know, even people working from home, you know, does my home insurer cover me if I'm working from home? The equipment that goes home with the staff, you know, does the business have cover for the equipment when it's not actually on the business's side? Is that equipment covered whilst it's at home with the employees? There is so many discussions to be had, and now is the time to be having them.
You brought up the issue of a cabinet maker. I gather there are so many different types of businesses for whom the questions are not going to be the same.
They're definitely not. Absolutely not. And that's you can't have a blanket sort of communication that goes out to businesses, because like you say, every business is different. There'll be some businesses that work from home now. There's people that are virtual personal assistants. Their life won't change. But it's for those that are normally working from a different office or factory or on-site environment that now are having to take that business to their home to keep their business going.
Are you having those conversations with people? Are they ringing you?
We do. We have these conversations all the time. We have a lot of people where they'll say, I'm closing down my business, so I'd want to cancel my insurance. And we'll go through and say, okay, well, under your lease, you have certain obligations in regards to the liability. So maybe you still need to keep your liability going because you've got a contractual issue there where you've said you've got liability in place. Usually under commercial leases, you've got to insure the window glass at the premises. When premises are vacant, glass windows get broken more frequently. So you can't let that go. So it's not just a matter of I'm not working there anymore, I don't need insurance. And different professions, like in our profession, we have what's called professional indemnity insurance for the advice that we're giving. Now, if we were to close up shop tomorrow, I couldn't turn around and say, well, I don't need professional indemnity insurance, because it's what's called a claims made policy. So you actually have to have a current policy in force at time of claim. So if somebody were to sue me in 9 months' time for advice I gave them 6 months ago, I have to have a current policy in place at the time. It's so complicated. It's complex, and that's why I suppose you need to be having those conversations with brokers. We've had some clients too that have been really innovative. We run a dance scheme. So we've got some dance teachers which would normally have their students come in, run a class. A lot of them have decided that they're taking their class online. So what happens is they will do like a video of what moves need to be done, or they'll zoom in and they'll have everybody up and looking at each other as they're doing things. And they've contacted us saying, will my liability insurance cover me if I'm actually doing video lessons or online lessons rather than physical lessons with the students. And the insurer that we use for that particular scheme is ASR. They've been fantastic. Yep, no problems. We have it in writing from them that they will still cover them, even though they've changed the format of how they're conducting the lessons. And that's great. But if we hadn't have had that conversation, hadn't have got the sign-off in writing from the insurer, you've got a student that's home, they haven't stretched properly, they get an injury, they decide that it's the dance teacher's fault because they weren't told to stretch or warm up correctly, and a claim occurs, it would be very grey as to, well, is the insurer going to actually pick up that claim because the circumstances of their business has changed. So a quick conversation, get it signed off, get it in writing, move on with, you know, with the new version of your business in this time.
At the time this all finishes, heaven knows when that will be, are you seeing that business will have changed fundamentally across the board?
My personal opinion on that, I really think that businesses, I think a lot of people will take out rent default cover that haven't done that before, because they're realising now that you may have had a tenant for a long time that's a great tenant. It's not really a take out rent default because you don't know the risk. Sometimes risks change and adapt like it is now, depending on the circumstances of the environment that we're in. I think that once this is all over, yes, some people may be working in different environments now, and it could be working perfectly for them, so they may choose to keep their business in that model because they've come up with something that's so fantastic. But I think there'll be a lot that will just go back to the way they were operating previously.
There is a lot of forced innovation, though, isn't there? And an innovation can be a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely there is. There is so much innovation happening with regards to, you know, take the dance that I was mentioning before. Mm. They might have some remote people, or they might have students that have been fantastic students for years and now they've moved to a different location, but they'd still like to have the same instruction for the same instructor. Well, now we've come up with a way that you can. So it has. It's made people think outside the box and adapt and innovate.
You mentioned the Zurich checklist. Mm-hmm. How can people access that?
Yeah, I'll speak to Jodie at Commerce Ballarat. I'm sure they'd be able to put it up on their new Resource Connect site that they have going at the moment to help local businesses. If not, I'll find a way that we can hook it on somewhere so that it's downloadable.
And the short answer is that there's help there.
Absolutely.
You've just got to ask for it.
There absolutely is. At this time, I think everybody is wanting to do what they can to help somebody else out. So when you're ringing to ask questions of your insurer and the insurer broker, I know from our point of view, we're happy to be engaged in those conversations because we feel like we're able to help somebody through a really terrible period that may be happening in their business. So absolutely, ring, the help's there and people are willing to give it.
Kay, we don't want to stretch people's attention span. You've been fabulous. Kay Jackson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will emphasise, though, that the advice you've given today is general in nature. If you need specific advice, contact your insurance broker or your insurance company or whomever you have your policy through.